Welcome to the Parallel Entrepreneurship Podcast. We are your hosts, Anna and Klaus Christensen, founders of Apparel Entrepreneurship, your go-to source for running and growing a successful, meaningful apparel brand. Each episode will give you hands-on tactics and practical strategies about everything apparel entrepreneurship. You'll also hear inspiring conversation with apparel industry experts and entrepreneurs about their tips and journeys in this fast-paced industry. Hi, and welcome to the 32nd episode of the Apparel Entrepreneurship Podcast. We are Anna and Klaus Christensen, and today we're going to discuss a fairly important topic, something that all designers and collections need, and that's inspiration. How and where to find inspiration for your designs in your collection. But before we dive into the main part of the show, Klaus has something to tell you.
You guys know that we run Apparel Entrepreneurship, but we also run a design agency. And both from running Apparel Entrepreneurship and the design agency, we constantly get requests for freelance designers.
And that's because many of you brand owners, you guys are not designers yourselves and you don't have that unique skill. So finding a designer can be really challenging, and especially if you need like specific specialty, like, I don't know, tailoring or sportswear, or it can be children's wear, it can be or bridal, it can be very specific needs and you don't know any designers and you really need help with this. And of course, our network of designers stretches this far, and since the demand has been so high, we needed to create our own platform, our own curated platform where we could connect brands and designers to work on product-based creative projects.
Yes, so we have created Designer, designer.com. It's DESINDER.com.
And it comes from designer finder, but we kind of cut away the endings and put them together, and how we came up with it.
Yeah, so it is an online connecting platform for brands and freelance designers to work on product-based projects. And it includes apparel, footwear, bags, and accessories. So when you go to designer.com, apparel brands, they can register and post projects that designers can apply for. And apparel brands can also browse designers and contact them directly for projects. And if you're a freelance designer, you can go in and register your profile and then apply for projects that are posted by the brands. So you can get in touch with each other and just start collaborating. And Designer is the connecting facilitator. And this is going to be a premium platform, but at the moment, everything is free. You can register for free. If you're a designer, you can register for free. If you're a brand, you can register for free. And you can also post your projects for free. So just go head over to designer.com and register. And even if you don't have a project right now to post and you're a brand, you can still register for free.
And it's like one of our designer contacts said, it's like, so it's like Tinder, but for brands and freelance designers. And we're like, yes, that's exactly what it is. So that was kind of funny, a funny story.
Yes. And we just launched it a few days ago, but we're really happy to see the interest and all the people signing up and the positive feedback we've heard from the community and how this is needed. So it makes us happy and we think this is going to be awesome for all of us.
And how many amazing designers from all over the world have already signed up. So go check it out and post your projects.
Yes, and we're going to add the link in the show notes as well. Otherwise, it's designer.com.
That was that. And now we're going to talk about the inspiration. We're going to go through the why, the what, and the how, and what it means. So why is it a good idea to have an inspiration for your designs and collection? You guys know, some designers create collections twice a year, some every 3 months, some have monthly drops. And the design phase is only a very, very small part of the creating and the producing an entire collection. Most of the time, there are many people involved in creating those collections. And you might have your team, you might be yourself, but then you're in collaboration with the manufacturer, with the suppliers. So the entire thing can be really dragged out, and the product development cycles are usually quite long as well, in between 1 year, sometimes 6 months, and of course, sometimes faster if you have drop collections. So how does it all start? How do you start with your design inspiration? How do you create it, and what does it mean? Inspiration is everywhere. And we often hear this when designers are interviewed. Where do you get your inspiration from? And you, most of the time you hear them answer, well, I get it from everywhere. But what does it mean? Where is everywhere? So I made a little list with where you can look for inspiration. It can be lifestyle. For example, surfing. If you think about the entire surfing lifestyle and what it means, you've got the beach, you've got the sun, you've got the colors, you've got the vibe. You can immediately understand what type of style it could be. So lifestyle is pretty huge. It can be a motorbike lifestyle-inspired collection. It can be any sort of lifestyle. And as long as you dive into that type of lifestyle, you immediately find tons of inspiration when it comes to colors, materials, the styling, the entire feel of it. You can be inspired by art and by architecture. I mean, just go to museums and you'll find tons. You find the shapes, you'll find, again, colors, structures, textures. And architecture is huge for most designers because it means that you can look at details, but you can look at the whole entire building, what it stands for. So there's so many interesting things that you can take away from architecture. Plus, what's good with art, being inspired by architecture and art is that it's not literal. You can show and talk about the inspiration, but it's not copy and paste. You can be inspired by movies and music. And again, music is huge. It's, of course, tied to culture. And again, it's tied to lifestyle. So think about what people that are listening to a certain type of music, what do they wear? What is their vibe? And movies, you can go back to, I don't know, the 20s or the 50s or the 60s. And again, are the skirts really, really wide? Or are the, you know, you can look to movies for inspiration when it comes to styling as well, to hair and makeup and accessories and all that. And movies and music are very, again, you do not have to take them literal. you just get the vibe and you can get the inspiration, but it does not have to be exact, spot on, which I find really good, because of course then it's not, you know, like the copy paste thing. You can look at history and culture. You can look at ancestor clothing from different time periods. And I personally have tons of books with these type of clothing because I find most of the time it's patterns that I find really interesting, or details, or specifically accessories I find really interesting when you look to history books. And again, just the entire spirit and details and how they tie things together or how they put things together. Volume, for example, is great when you look at history products. Or just you can be inspired from travel. For, of course, first you need to get out and do travel because most of the time people find themselves very relaxed. They are in a different open mind spirit. So it's not like so in front of the computer, work mode. You get access to a lot of nice things. Maybe it's food, maybe it's sounds, maybe it's smells, it's entire feelings. And again, the vibe that you get when you travel, especially if you travel to exotic location, I mean, it can be huge. And also when you travel, you can buy postcards, you can buy small fabric swatches, you can get things that you wouldn't necessarily get hold of from another place.
I mean, you should see, it's really interesting to take a look at our vacation photos. I've seen this for over 16 years now. And you have these nice pictures of, I don't know, some scenery or the family, and suddenly there's a close-up of a rusty wall or a fishnet or anything that's just an inspiration photo. So I've seen this in action for many, many years.
But it's great because these pictures, I mean, you will always have them. And the stuff that you buy, you just, you know, store it. And whenever you need some extra inspiration or some extra stuff to kind of pull out, even in the last minute, you can always come back to that. Or it can be physical clothing pieces. It can be vintage stuff. It can be military garments. It can be competitors' garments. I personally do not like competitor garments, even though it might be details. I mean, it's their inspiration and it came from somewhere. So I think you should preferably look at outdated products and not something that is available now. My biggest favorite is military, everything military, because of course it's kind of tied to my background with outdoor and products that have a function, and everything that's army most of the time has some sort of a function. And so it's great to look at pocket solutions, hood solutions, cuff constructions, gusset placements, all that stuff. I love, 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 love. And I've got tons of pictures, and we do have military products as well in our library. So that can be a really cool inspiration for you as well if you want to dive into more function and add that into your products. Let's see what else is great to get inspiration from. Markets. And again, here, it's about the most of the time stuff that you cannot touch, about the smells, about the taste, about the food, if it's food markets or you go to vintage markets. Of course, then you can find all the stuff. You can find furniture. You can find other items and memorabilia. You can find all these nice things that can add to your collection in one way or another. You might find a nice pin that ends up being a button for your collection or a print. It can be so many things. Maybe it's a detail from a wooden furniture that you end up making a print of. So it's all these things that can be translated and applied into your collection. And one of my personal favorites is stories. And you can tie back into your childhood. You can go back into different memories. And something maybe happened when you were little or 10 years ago, or I don't know when it happened, but maybe that had a huge impact on you. And it was a great memory. Maybe that can inspire some sort of an inspiration, or the entire story, where you were and how you were feeling and what you were doing in the location you were at, and tie that entire experience into a story that later dilutes into details, into products. And so you will have, of course, I mean, this is great because then all of a sudden you've got your whole marketing story done. And so it's more personal. No one else has this except you. It's completely authentic. You haven't copied it somewhere else. Plus, your customers, they get to relate to it in a completely different way and on a deeper level with you and your products. And the last one on this little list, it's sustainability. When you have sustainability and as a value, or if you are a sustainable brand, of course, this dictates some sort of decisions. And then when you, of course, you cannot implement everything, and everything at the same time is dictated by your sustainability values. So this is huge. It's both limiting, but also incredibly relieving, because you know exactly what to say, what to do, and what to get inspired by, and you know what decisions to make when it comes to materials, when it comes to your products, your packaging, everything. When it's tied to a sustainability story, it's in a way very, very easy. And so, yeah, I hope that list makes sense. But again, let's say you want to make this into some sort of a habit. You want to, if you don't have this as a habit already, how do you do? Well, first of all, you have to look at what's happening in the world constantly, 24/7. Try to be to be connected, to read the news, to see what is going on. You might have a trend-sensitive business, or you may not. Maybe you're running a timeless brand. But it doesn't matter, because at all times, you need to know what's going on in the world, and you need to know the trends and why things are the way they are, because your brand is evolving with time, whether you like it or not. And because you know, that's the nature of the game. And if you do know the trends, it will be easier for you to run a business that it's relevant and that is now, and it'll be easier to increase your chances to make more sales. So constant check, and have the fingers on the pulse, like we say in Sweden, to just see, you know, tap into what's going on now. And, you know, inspiration. It's not only for the details or the prints. It's for everything that you do, starting with the product themselves and the silhouette and maybe the shapes and the material choices and your colors and your color story and your accessories, like your buttons and trims and stuff. But it has to do with everything, even the finishing touches of your styling. It might be the hair, like I mentioned earlier, or it might be the shoes, it might be the bags, it might be the photos that you take, it might be the story. It needs to all connect. It needs to be, you can't, I mean, of course you can, but it'll be very schizo to have the clothing be inspired from one era and then you've got the styling being inspired from another era. Of course, it could probably look very interesting, but it might be very confusing for your customers. So let's say you run a D2C brand and you have weekly drops. You might be thinking, how in the, you know, am I going to get inspiration and have the time to implement all these personal things and stories and all? Well, it's still valid and it's still important, because, you know, your brand is evolving, the industry is evolving, and your customer wants to see new and exciting things all the time. So you should keep it interesting, and you should try to implement some sort of an inspiration, both for the interest of the products, but also for your stories and your pictures and all that. But the problem here could be to keep it all cohesive and tight from one drop to another. So that's something that you need to keep your eye on. And because, of course, it needs to all come together on your website. Example, let's say you come to the shop page and then you're scrolling and you're seeing all the different pictures. You don't want 10 pictures to look completely different and then 10 pictures to look as completely different. So you want everything to kind of be feeling like one brand and not be too all over the place, just scattered, and to make your customers, you know, confused and all. So just try to keep that in mind. I know from when I used to work, when I used to be employed at brands, we used to go to, for example, Premier Vision, to big fabric fairs. And there you can meet a lot of trend forecasting agencies. For big brands, this is great. They go in, they buy their crazy expensive books or their services. They go back home, they have 1 week to design everything, and then they check this. They know, yep, it's on trend. Check, done, implement. Let's continue with the next season. But if you're a smaller brand, for example, you might want to reconsider. So what do these trend forecasting agencies do? They can sell trend forecasting books with styles and colors and material suggestions. Some sell online subscriptions with inspiration. And it's great because, you know, there are the must-have styles or things or colors for the season. So at least you know that this is what's working now, this is what it's going to be probably in the other shops, and so you're like, yep, check, done. But I really want to put up a red flag about these, because my personal opinion is that when you do use these, of course you will end up choosing colors and styles and must-haves like all the other brands that have bought these services or trend books. So you will have the same reference. Maybe you don't mind. Maybe you think, yeah, great, because then this is, you know, products and colors that are in on trend. And so you think that it's a great thing. That's fine. But if you do want to create something that's truly unique, that's truly your own with your story and your inspiration, then you can look at these things just to see how it's put together. Maybe get ideas of how they put together color combinations and then create your own color combinations with, you know, maybe one pop, two solid color, one that's a bit more neutral, things like this. But if you do take it too literal, you will end up using the same thing as many other brands. Yeah. And inspiration. I wanna take it in more into how I use inspiration. It does not necessarily happen. People think that you're creative and yeah, so inspiration, it's like an on and off button. It's not. Like when people, for example, we also run a design agency and they're like, yeah, but we, you know, you need to design this in like 30 hours. And create this collection, and then you get paid for 30 hours. Well, in a way, it's not how it works. Your brain is constantly on. Your brain is fully functioning, and it thinks about things even in your sleep. So it's not just about, yes, let's, you know, snap of a finger, everything, you know, you design everything and it's instant and it's natural, and then done, you're ready to go. It's not how it's working. And of course, you have to remember, this is a trained skill. Nothing, it comes natural. It's not like you're born with inspiration or not. It's not like you're either a creative or you're not. Everybody's a creative. Everybody is curious. You just have to learn how to look and tap into what you think is interesting and maybe not even bother questioning, why do I find this interesting or not? Just take a picture of it or note it or sketch on it. Just grab it and put it somewhere so you can use it for later. And when I was at Parsons, we used to draw 100 croquis, like full silhouette, rendered with hair and accessories and all that to the next day. That's 100 croquis. That's a lot. And the point of this thing was just to be trained to just create, create, and create. And just to get the hand moving and the ideas to flow and to put them on paper and to do stuff with what I found inspirational and what I wanted to do. So it's a trained thing. It's not something that you know, either have or don't have. I know, because we hear this a lot. Many are like, oh, but I don't know. This doesn't come natural to me. That's crap. It does. You just have to learn to see and watch and put things together. And it's better to get a lot of inspiration, put it in one place, and then use it and edit than to have too little. Okay, so how do you actually go about and how do you do it in a structured and applicable manner? First, you need to, of course, decide what is your brand concept? What is your brand about? Who is your target customer? Where is your customer going? What is the customer doing in the product? And you have to understand the market that you're in or the market that you will be in if you haven't started your clothing brand yet. And you have to know what type of products you want to make. And when you know the answer to this, and of course you do, you have to nail this first. It's easy, you just have to reverse engineer and make into something constructive and to the point. So you, of course, don't waste any time on thinking. You just know these things and then you take your inspiration and you implement it in your product. When you know your brand concept and your target customer, and you understand what your product is supposed to do, you also know what type of inspiration to look for and you will note that it is applicable for your type of products. And this is not only a thing for startups or new designers. Even experienced designers have trouble with this sometimes, because as a founder, you might have a team, you might have so much things to do and so many hats to put on all the time. And design is a very small part of running a business. And so it's better to have tons and tons and tons of inspiration collected in one place. You know, you can just go take it when you need it, just pull it out instead of starting from scratch. So yes, this can be stressful for all sorts of designers, new and experienced one. So tying back to your brand values and mission, you have to make sure that your inspiration is, that you can implement the inspiration so it ties back to your brand and its values and its mission and its concept. Let's say you're a minimalistic design, you have a minimalistic design aesthetic. Then, of course, you cannot go and implement crazy all over the stuff things, because it will be too much and is not going to be tied to your design aesthetic. So you have to always tie it back to your brand and what your brand stands for. The most important thing with inspiration is that it needs to be you. You have to be original. Even if you copy, but let's say not copy, even if you borrow things, it needs to be tied to your liking, to your values, to your point of view, and done in a way, in a twisted way, so it suits you. First as a creator, and the second as a brand, so it suits your brand. Authenticity is the most important thing. And there's a huge difference in inspiration and copy. And try to have this as a rule of thumb. If something starts to resemble someone else's design, scrap it right away. It's never, ever a good idea to take an idea right off and create something almost identical. You guys know of Diet Prada. You do not want to end up on their list, and you do not want to be shouted out as the copycat. It's just so bad. And I know you guys are extremely talented. It can be challenging to have time to do all the things, but make it your own, twist it to suit you and your design aesthetic, and add you in it as much as you can to keep it authentic. That was a lot. So I'm just going to leave you now with three of my most important takeaways for this episode. So number one, learn to notice things and collect those ideas and inspiration, note them down, put them in a place where you can find them at all times. If it's Evernote, if it's a sketchbook, if it's a box, if it's a camera, it does not matter. Collect it, buy it, get it. Sometimes it's super expensive to buy that inspirational book. Get it. Inspiration is priceless. Collect it, put it in one place. Make it fun and always go back to it, because you never know what's going to pop into your head. Second takeaway is edit. There are so many ideas, and I know, I get it, because I can be so scattered myself and there's so many things I want to do. But you have to find the one main idea and then edit the rest. Have one main idea, then maybe 2-3 smaller ideas that connect to that main idea, and then edit the rest to make everything cohesive, to make the collection looking like one, and to not overwhelm either you or your customers. And the third takeaway is do not stop at the implementation. You have to tell the stories in all your marketing. You have to talk about where it came from, why you got inspired about the thing that you got inspired about. Show the behind the scenes, because this is what's going to help sell the collection, and this is what's going to help your story connect to your customers, and this is what's going to have your customers come and buy your product, because it's so much more fun to get a product and to know why the product is the way it is than to just buy a product. So, hope this helped. You can, when you listen to this episode, you can tag it or take a snapshot and let us know what is your main inspiration for your product.
And remember, if you're running a clothing brand, maybe you're just about to start, or you have an existing brand and your brand has plateaued and you need help to grow and scale your brand, this is the week to join the membership, because we're closing the enrollment on Saturday. So go and check it out on apparelentrepreneurship.com/join. See you there.
Yeah, that was it for this episode. Thank you so, so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for your great comments and feedback, and for taking your time to listen. Have a great day. Speak to you next week, and bye for now.